Good morning. My name is Janika, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mexican Ministry of Finance conference call on the report of public finances and public debt for the first quarter of 2006. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Garcia Tamez, Undersecretary of Public Finance and Debt. Along with Mr. Garcia Tamez will be Mr. Alejandro Warner, Head of the Economic Planning Unit, and Mr. Gerardo Rodriguez, Head of the Public Debt Unit. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thanks very much, and welcome everyone to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call on public finances and public debt report for the first quarter of 2006. Before we start, let me remind our friends of the press that this is an off-the-record conference call, an on-the-record press conference was held a couple of days ago. So in order to facilitate the exchange of information during this conference call, we would like it to be maintained off the record. So let me start by mentioning the macroeconomic developments. Economic growth accelerated in the first quarter of 2006. Exports and investment were the strongest components of aggregate demand. We estimate that GDP grew at an annual rate above 5% in the first quarter, a figure that reflects the negative performance of the primary sector. In this regard, non-agricultural GDP growth for the first quarter is estimated at 5.5%. Among the available economic indicators for the first quarter, the following stand out. First, the monthly GDP proxy, which is the IGAE, posted a 5.1% annual increase in the January-February period. Excluding agriculture, this index posted a 5.4% annual growth in the first 2 months of the year. Economic acceleration was reflected in a very dynamic labor market. Close to 267,000 jobs were created in the first quarter, the highest level for a similar period in the last 8 years. Up to the end of March 2006, formal employment grew at an annual rate of 5.9%. This was reflected in the reduction of the unemployment rate from 3.85% a year earlier to 5.52% at the end of the first quarter of 2006. During the quarter, sales reported by the National Retailers Association and Walmart increased at annual rates of 10.4% and 12.9% respectively. Private investment posted at a 13.4% annual growth rate in January. The nominal US dollar value of total exports increased almost 26% in annual terms. Within this figure, oil, agricultural, and manufacturing exports grew 52.3%, 41.2%, and 20.9% respectively. Also, the nominal US dollar value of total imports grew 19.2% annually. Imports on consumption, capital, and intermediate goods grew 25.7%, 19.5%, and 18% in that order. In January-February, in the 2 months of January-February, industrial production grew at an annual rate of 5.7%. Within the sector, the following indicators stand out. In the first 2 months of the year, construction, manufacturing, and mining production grew at an annualized rate of 7.7%, 5.5%, and 6% respectively. Automotive production expanded 54.3% in the first quarter, according to the Mexican Associations of Automakers. In the first 2 months of 2006, the production of services expanded at 5.3% annually. During this same period, agriculture production grew at a real annual rate of 3.5%. After peaking early in the year, inflation closed in the first quarter at 3.41% inside Banco de Mexico's target zone. During this quarter, Banco de Mexico allowed the overnight target rate to decrease three times, accumulating a total reduction of 100 basis points. After the period covered by this report, another 25 basis points decrease was allowed. These measures responded to reductions in both the headline and core inflation and to favorable expectations for global growth. It is worth mentioning that the board announced that in the foreseeable future, there is no room left for additional reductions. The stock market index continued its upward trend and closed the first quarter with a nominal gain of 8.26% with respect to the end of 2005. The exchange rate was 10.9 pesos per dollar on March 31st. This entails a depreciation of 2.6% with respect to the end of 2005. The stable macroeconomic conditions and the favorable external environment contributed to the continued expansion of credit during the first 2 months of 2006. Banking credit to the private sector grew at 27.5% annually, and within this item, credit for housing was the most dynamic component and grew at an annual rate of 82.2%. Consumer credit and credit to businesses also grew at rapid rates, 46.4% and 7.4% respectively. I would like to mention a particular effect that could be distorting the figure that I just gave for the growth that was observed in the credit for housing component, which as I just mentioned was 82.2%. As you might be aware, there have been in the financial sector some transactions by which some banks have acquired some non-bank banks dedicated to housing credit. As a result of these acquisitions, we have seen during last year some transactions by which these banks have been buying the portfolio of loans that were originally held in the books of the non-bank banks. So we are seeing an adjustment on the figures, no, which is explained only for this transaction, which actually does not mean that new credit is being given to the sector by the financial system overall. But what we are seeing is an increase of the balance of credit provided by banks, which is partially neutralized by a decline on this type of credit given by the non-bank banks. So adjusted for this effect, the growth in the banking sector for credit to the housing sector is approximately 25%, which continues to be a pretty solid rate of growth. Let me move now to the public finances figures. The public balance in the first quarter of 2006 registered a surplus of 51.6 billion pesos. This figure is 88% higher than the one registered a year earlier. The primary balance up to March posted a surplus of 112 billion pesos, which is 31.5% above the one registered for the previous year. Revenues in the first quarter of 2006 were 17.3% higher in real terms than those in the same period of 2005. These revenues exceeded by 63.5 billion pesos the amount projected in the 2006 fiscal program due to the following. First, 16.4 billion pesos from oil revenues. Second, 16.3 billion pesos from public entities under direct budgetary control other than Pemex. 15.8 billion pesos from non-tax revenues, and finally 14.9 billion pesos from non-oil tax revenues. Oil revenues grew 19.4% in real terms due to the increase in international crude prices. Non-oil tax revenues grew 9.3% in real annual terms in the first quarter of the year. Among its components, the 19.1% increase in receipts from the value-added tax stands out. Also worth highlighting, the federal government non-tax revenues increased 82.1% in real terms due to the resources obtained from the sale of two airports, one Grupo Aeroportuario Centro Norte and the other one Grupo Aeroportuario del Pacifico, and additionally resources from public entities under direct budgetary control, excluding Pemex, increased by almost 23% in real annual terms. In the first quarter of 2006, the public sector's total budgetary spending increased by 14.3% in real terms. Also, primary spending increased almost 15% in real terms with respect to the same period of 2005. It is worth mentioning that this increase is explained primarily by three factors. First, the Federation's budget for 2006 considers a higher oil price than the budget for 2005. Just to remind you, we had a price for 2005 of $27 per barrel, and we have a price for budgetary purposes for this year of $36.50 per barrel. Second, efforts were made to smooth spending throughout the year, with higher expenditures in the first half in comparison to previous years. And third, the increased spending by electoral organisms associated with the electoral process that will take place in July of 2006. Within public spending, it is worth stressing, first, budgetary investment and investment fostered by the public sector grew 15% and 35.4% in real terms, respectively. Expenditures carried out by the Federal Electoral Institute grew 141% in real terms with respect to the same period of 2005. The public sector wage bill grew 5.5% annually. This is due to increases of 5.1% and 7.5% in expenditure by the federal executive channeled to social and economic developments, respectively, and 19.3% expansion of expenditures by the legislative and judicial branches of government. In contrast, expenditures on activities related to government functions decreased 0.7%. The cost of funding of the public sector increased by 9.2% in real terms with respect to the same period last year. This was due mainly to higher expenses on lenders and borrowers' support programs, as well as on interest payments related to financed investment projects according to the approved budget. Let me move now to the public debt statistics. And before going over the numbers on public debt for the first quarter, let me remind you that since the beginning of 2006, the statistics of the federal government and the federal public sector are reported in a more detailed manner. Due to some changes, the new statistics are also being reported on a historical basis on the Ministry of Finance website in order to facilitate comparisons. With that clarification made, let me start with the federal government's obligations. At the end of the first quarter, this federal government's debt totaled 20.7% of GDP, which is 1.1 percentage points higher than the one that was observed at the end of last year. Within this item, the federal government's domestic debt at the end of March amounted to 14% of GDP, which is an increase of 0.9 percentage points of GDP with respect to the one observed at the end of 2005. In terms of the debt composition, the participation of fixed-rate peso-denominated bonds in total government securities rose from 42.8 to 44.7 throughout the first quarter. As a consequence, the average maturity of government domestic securities increased from 3.32 years at the end of 2005 to 3.65 years at the end of the period reported. The federal government's net external debt stood at 6.7% of GDP at the end of the first quarter, 0.2 percentage points higher than that at the end of 2005. Among the most relevant events and actions carried out in the first quarter as part of our external debt management strategy, the following stand out. The Mexican debt rating was upgraded by the Japan Credit Rating Agency. A new program to place bonds in the U.S. retail markets was announced. A tender offer to repurchase bonds financed by the placement of new global bonds by a new global bond was conducted in the international markets. And the second warrants offering to exchange euro-denominated for peso-denominated securities was successfully carried out. Now, I will report on the public sector's net debt, which results from adding to the federal government debt the liabilities of public entities under direct budgetary control. At the end of the first quarter of 2006, Mexico's public sector net debt totaled 22.7% of GDP, which is 1 percentage point higher than the figure registered at the end of 2005. Regarding its domestic and external components, net domestic public sector debt stood at 14.7% of GDP, which is 0.8 percentage points higher than the one observed at the end of 2005. Net external public sector debt amounted to 8% of GDP, which is an increase of 0.2 percentage points with respect to the end of 2005. Before we conclude and we move into the question and answer session, let me make some comments on some developments that took place during last week which was the final week for the congressional period, for the ordinary congressional period. I would just highlight that, as it has been the case for the 5 years of government, we have had full collaboration from Congress to support the legislation that was introduced during the period for the financial items. With this, we continue to make an important progress on reforming the financial sector, which is also, as you can see in the figures, starting to pay off, and we are now seeing a very well-functioning financial market, which is characterized by a banking sector that is now providing credit at a very strong rate. Among the initiatives that were approved during last week, I would like to highlight a few number of them. One is the Banking Resolution Initiative, which is the second piece of legislation that was promoted by the executive branch to have a clear way out for banks that could face some problems in insolvency. This follows an initiative that was approved by Congress a couple of years ago, which had to do with the early warning system. So this is the second part of the legislation, and we will be followed by a third part of the legislation, which we are hoping to put before Congress in the next legislative period for bankruptcy law. The other piece of legislation which is very important is the one dealing with the deregulation of the non-bank activity. As you know, non-bank banks in Mexico are regulated financial institutions. And they are also required, or they were also required, to be dedicated to one specific sector in their activities. What this legislation is doing is deregulating that activity. So from now on, all these non-bank banks, which so decide, can change from regulated to a non-regulated status, and they can also dedicate their activities to multiple sectors instead of being concentrated only in one single sector. Finally, there were a couple of changes which have to do with the insurance sector. The credit insurance was created. No, for that we had to modify the law or the insurance law. And once this was created, the possibility for offering these type of insurances in Mexico, we had a modification on the Sociedad Hipotecaria Federal legislation, which was allowed for the creation of two subsidiaries for each one of them to offer different types of credit insurance. So with this, we are starting and we are opening the possibility of credit insurance, the credit insurance business, to be developed in Mexico. No? This is all I would like to mention. If you want to go into any details of the initiatives, we can do so in the question and answer session. So we can move into that into that part of the conference call right now. Thank you very much for your attention.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star then the number one on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question or make a comment at this time. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Paulo Limi, Goldman Sachs.
Yes, good morning, and thank you very much for this informative call. A more general question, and I'm sorry, a long one, about government expenditure. If we look at the last two sexenios and big trends in public finances, essentially the government has been able to achieve close to 3% of GDP increase in fiscal resources coming from half almost from revenue, both oil and non-oil, and also reduction in interest payments. And in turn, it has been using the resources first to reduce the fiscal balance to equilibrium, and also to increase primary spending by close to 1.8% of GDP. So my question is if you could comment on the nature of the increase in primary spending, whether it's investment spending by Pemex or subsidies to fuels. And second, the future trends for both capital spending and current spending for the next 4 to 5 years, and the capacity to compress current spending, particularly in the context of programmed increases both in Social Security outlays, and second, the increase in the operational and interest cost of the PDVSA's accounts. Thank you.
Thank you, Paulo. Give us a little time to get the numbers, but in general terms, what I could mention at this point is that there is a very important increase in the investment and promoted investment by the government, and that's a large portion of the increase in spending. I would also highlight, as I did in the conference, that most of the increase on the spending, on the current spending, is to support areas which have to do with the provision of public services, and the current spending in the federal government in salaries for the government activity is being reduced. We are having an increase on investment in the sector of communications, on infrastructure, roads, and etc. We are increasing some subsidies for the agricultural activity, and as I mentioned before, the electoral process is an activities related to the Institute, the Federal Institute that is in charge of this process, is putting some pressure, and we are seeing some increases in that part. We are seeing some increases also on the spending on education and on health health sectors. Let us get the figures and get back to this answer in a minute. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. That is star, then the number one on your telephone keypad to ask a question at this time. You have a question from the line of Alonzo Severa, Credit Suisse.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. Can you give us a breakdown for the allocation of excess revenues that you experienced in the first quarter? Thanks.
Thank you, Alonzo. Yes, hold on one moment. Alejandro is... trying to get the detailed figures here.
Yeah. Basically, in the first quarter of 2006, from the 63 billion pesos that we have of excess revenues, 13 come from basically public sector enterprises. So eventually, they will be able to spend this additional income throughout the year. 17 billion pesos come from government ministries that generated them, principally the income associated with the privatization of these two airport groups, and that obviously will be either spent in infrastructure or will be used to pay down debt. Those are the two uses that are available for this income. Then we have 32 billion, almost 33 billion, associated with what used to be Line J, and now it's called Line N, of the budget decree. And basically, this money at the end of the year will be distributed after deducting the increase in non-programmable expenditure, the increase in programmable expenditure associated with the increases of the cost of fuel for CFE to generate electricity. After making those deductions, it will be distributed 50% to Pemex, 25% to the oil stabilization fund, and 25% to improve the budget deficit. So that is the breakdown. Obviously, up until today, this money has not been spent. Basically, because if you look, we had a program budget deficit for the first quarter of around 10 billion pesos. We ended up having a surplus of 51. So basically, all the excess revenues are still being saved. However, due to the rules of the budget, it is highly likely that, first of all, the public sector institutions and the ministries that generated this additional income will use these resources basically in additional investment throughout the year. And the other half, that is the money associated with what was called Line J of the budget decree, at the end of the year will be distributed according to the rules in which 50% go to Pemex, 25% to the oil stabilization fund, and 25% to improve the budget deficit, the budget result.
Thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one.
If we could go back to the first question, which was posted by Paulo, we have the figures now, Paulo, so we can go back to that answer.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, programmable expenditure and primary expenditure are growing at annual rates of around 15%. For the year as a whole, I think we had in the budget, vis-a-vis the previous year budget, a growth of around 5 or 6% in real terms. Part of this, an important part of this, is related to the elements that Alonso mentioned before. In addition, due to the constitutional controversy that took place last year, the structure of expenditure throughout the year was more balanced towards the end of the year, once that the controversy was solved, than in the first half of the year, that a lot or a significant part of expenditures were being basically contested in the courts, so basically that spending was not exercised in the first half of the year. So in that sense, the four reasons that Alonso mentioned, together with this fifth reason, is giving us a situation in which we are having, an additional one is basically that given that this is the last year of an administration, there are a lot of ongoing investment projects, and there are not a lot of new investment projects being approved. In that sense, it is typical of this, let's say, electoral period, that given that we have a significant amount of ongoing projects, expenditure flows much more smoothly at the beginning of the year than in other budget years in which a lot of programs have to be authorized, have to be their process for initiation have to be implemented, etc., and this lacks the exercise of expenditure to the second half of the year. And in that sense, that is giving us a situation in which the annual growth rate in the first quarter of the year is going to be larger than the annual growth rates that we will be seeing at the end of the year. And in that sense, if you actually look at how expenditure is evolving vis-a-vis our expenditure program that was published in January of this year, basically we are slightly below the program in terms of expenditures. So in this sense, we are not expecting anything. I mean, we are not expecting that there will be the need to take exceptional measures to control expenditures, because basically we are right on target with our program, and this is exactly what we program, given the elements that we mentioned that are biasing the exercise of expenditure to the first half of the year. And eventually we will converge to this 5% growth rate without taking into account the excess revenues. So once we put in the excess revenues, obviously we will have a larger rate of growth of expenditures, but what is programmed already in the budget is being executed in line with our expenditure calendar published in the first month of 2006.
And at this time, you have no further questions in queue.
Okay, then let me thank again all the participants in this conference call for their attention. Thank you very much.
Okay, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.